Welcome to another episode of the Innerman Show. I'm joined today by Nathan Unweiler. Nathan grew up in Red Cliff and in Medicine Hat and surrounding area. Nathan has a degree in finance. You got that from Regina, right?
Yeah.
Okay. There. Cool. You have 8 years experience in commodities for forecasting and trading. We just kind of talked about that before we got started tonight. We can dive into that a little bit later. Sure. If you like.
It's a fun world.
Yeah. And then you're also the division director and executive consultant with IG Securities and Wealth Management, Medicine Hat, correct?
I am, yes.
Oh, well, thank you for doing this today, man. As I was saying before we started here, I feel like personal finance and budgeting and security are an important conversation to have, especially during the times of what we're seeing today with inflation being high, gas prices being high, groceries are outstanding. But you see a silver lining to it. So I want to dig into that a bit, but why don't you give us a little background and history about yourself?
Sure. So Red Cliff boy, grew up in the greenhouses. My parents were small greenhouse owners. Mm-hmm. And I learned from a young age that we plant this seed, we fertilize it, we take care of it. It becomes a plant and it right. produces fruit or vegetables in this case, cucumbers, right. tomatoes, and peppers. And we take that to the co-op, which mm-hmm. was owned by more greenhouse owners right. to package it, market it, and sell it, because packaging, marketing, things like that just aren't the specialties of us small growers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you do your job or fulfill your goal, your objective, and pass it on to the next guys. Right. Something's never made sense to me. The fact that a cucumber we were paid a dollar when I was 4 years of age and we were still getting paid a dollar when I was 16. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, how is this happening? I'm seeing everything else being more expensive, but yet we're getting the same dollar for the same amount of produce. And so it's like, okay, now how do we produce more
right.
for the same amount of cost? And mm-hmm. yeah, finance was always something that was interesting to me. I felt that there had to be a certain level of harmony within all things financial, or else why would we be continuing to grow?
Right.
So I was interested in how do I take advantage of that? Well, not take advantage of it, but, you know, utilize it for my own well-being. How do I make smart decisions? How do I set
is an opportunity?
Yeah. How do I set reasonable goals and things like that? Mm-hmm. So finance was,
yeah. So greenhousing kind of gave you that foundation of just basically better habits. Yeah. Or financing.
Yeah, and comic books.
Yeah.
I okay. collected comic books and I yeah. saw their value and I'm like, why is this one more valuable than that one?
Okay.
Just all these questions. And a family friend of ours was a financial planner and mm-hmm. had a good influence on me. And so when I graduated high school, I kind of knew where I wanted to go.
Right.
Well, not quite actually. I went into a calculus initially,
yeah.
like problem solving and stuff like that. And that right. was good, but I was on like that 1% to go to NASA. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, let's go be an accountant.
let's trade some stocks.
Why not? Accounting program, finance program, and then kind of things went in the way that they did. And
right.
It's worked out well. So.
So tell me about, you know, what it was like being in Regina and going to school. Did you always see yourself being in the consultant role or the trading role? What was that like?
I honestly didn't know. I loved the difference between something called micro and macro economics. Mm-hmm. You know, you see a big picture, that's the macro side. You dig down to the small and that's the micro side. Mm-hmm. And then you put it back to the macro side to right. see what adjustments and changes you're going to do. Mm-hmm. When politicians say that the small business owner is the backbone of the economy, it's true. But, you know, the economy is the macro, the small greenhouse owners and everybody else are the micro. And yet they work towards the larger picture. And going through school, that interested me. I loved something called derivatives, which mm-hmm. were coming around. And of course, that's what crashed the market back in 2008. People mm-hmm. said, oh, we didn't see the crash in 2008 coming. We were studying it in school.
Right, right. Yeah.
we were studying it all the way back in to 94 when Clinton was in place and he was, you know, releasing financial restrictions that were in place to safeguard the financial industries.
Right.
but that gets pretty deep. We'll go too far down that rabbit hole.
the Big Short is one of my favorite movies. It's a really good job on it. Yeah.
They do a good job. And surprisingly, Margot Robbie in a hot tub explaining, I think it was what a short was. Like, that was right on.
Exactly. Yeah. And did you just enter university or are you just finishing university around the crash then?
Yeah. So I finished, January, February, March, April. Mm-hmm. And then, the big crash happened, just around that time. Mm-hmm. It was starting to be before, technically a recession by definition is 6 months of negative returns. Mm-hmm. So we were just at that point of recession. Mm-hmm. And so I joined up with RBC. I knew the guys there, mm-hmm. Just some connections and whatnot through.
What was it like being, getting into the financial industry at the beginning or during a recession?
Well, it was unique because here was this 25-year-old green collared kid telling 55, 65-year-olds what they should do with their millions. Mm-hmm. After a crash, right? Yeah. And the biggest thing was to stay invested. Those that got out of the markets, they did whatever with their money. They're cashing it out, holding it in savings accounts and this and that. Then they weren't even comfortable with that because the bank only covers $100,000 of your deposits, CDIC insurance, Canadian Deposit Insurance Corporation, whereas you're covered to $1 million in your investment, but they just didn't understand these things.
Right.
Regina was unique because they were going through a boom. The NDP had just been taken down. And conservatives were in power and housing was booming. The economy was booming and it's crazy. If you know what you pay for property taxes in Regina, the fact that wherever there are jobs, people will move to.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the property tax or this or that is, that's people will move to where the heck there are jobs.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And so, there were people that had the value in their home to float some home equity, borrow a little bit until the portfolio recovered. The portfolio should have recovered within a year, year and a half. But so many of them took 4 or 5 years just because just poor advice, poor investments, not being managed properly. When it comes to finance, the squeaky wheel gets the oil.
Yeah.
If you're the person that sits back and it's like, oh, it's being taken care of, or, oh, there's not that much I can do. Oh no. Talk to who your advisor is, talk to who your banker is. That squeaky wheel gets the oil and it gets placed right at the forefront. And find good advice. Mm-hmm. Good advice is key. RBC was all right. I've seen some of the other banks, not fans of them. Sorry. Yeah. That's not a plug for RBC. I work for IG Wealth. the banking world though is unique because we're a small population in Canada. And the big entities like we have Raymond James in Canada, but it's not the same as what it is in States.
Right.
There's large financial planning advice entities around the world. And I studied them in school.
Right.
But no one wanted to come into Canada because we had such a small population.
Right.
Very unique wealth, right? BC, Alberta, Ontario, most of Quebec. Mm-hmm. So fragmented that it wasn't a good business plan for a lot of these other entities. Like you'll see in the news, RBC buying US assets, BMO, TD, because there's growth there. You don't see too many US banks coming into Canada because there's no growth for that.
Right.
We're small pickings. And so the banks made their own wealth structure and their own investment structure because it was market share. Think of market share. Think of BlackBerry dominated the phone industry and then Apple came in and Samsung, they kind of took the market share. Well, the banks want that with their own investments.
Right.
No one entity is the best at investing in everything that there is in the world. Like no one's the best at Canada, US, international, emerging markets, and the bond market, where the bond market is significantly larger than the stock market, but people don't realize that. It's just not as fun as the stock market. RBC, TD, the banks said, oh no, this is a great way for us to make more money.
Right.
Yeah. Come deal with us and deal with our package solutions is we invest in all things and it's good for you. And people normally trust their banks and banks are,
well, those are big names, right?
Yeah. And they give you your mortgage, they give you your credit card. They handle your banking for your personal, your business.
And yeah. My first bank account was with RBC, right?
Yeah. So. And, you know, that's who I still deal with. Well, I'm moving to ATB because they're doing some great things here for personal banking and business banking and things like that.
Right.
But yeah, things change and no one's the best at absolutely everything. And, I won't do a plug for IG by all means.
I'll plug it, man. That's why we're here.
Well, you know, fair enough. Like when I was looking to see where I was going to be, it came down to Raymond James and IG. At the time it was Investors Group turning over to IG Wealth. Mm-hmm. And the transition was more like Raymond James and other institutions across the globe.
Right.
It was a wealth firm where advice is key. Mm-hmm. In the banking world, if you have under $100,000, here's your advisor. They'll sell you TD Comfort portfolios, RBC Select portfolios. I don't know what the BMO and the CIBC ones are, but then once you get past 100,000, now you go to TD Wealth, the RBC Wealth, you know, 100,000 to million or 2 million, then you pass the 2 million. Oh, here you are. Come see these Dominion Securities guides or private investment advice. Raymond James, IG, these two, it doesn't matter if you have 10,000 or 10 million, their job and their goal is to grow your wealth. Not once you get there, here's the services and advice.
Right.
And the rich get richer because the more money you have, the better investment options there are.
Right.
The cheaper your fees are, you know, it's just, it's so hard. Like I tell so many of my young guys that getting to your first million is hard. Once you hit there, you'll just see it skyrocket because you think about it, like 10% on $100,000 is $10,000. 10% on $1 million is $100,000. Percent is percent, but dollars are real.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the thing. You need to know what your requirements are for retirement. And we fight inflation. Every 21 years, the cost of something doubles. I use booster.
So I want to stop there.
Yeah.
We're dealing with some heavy inflation now.
Heavy.
And you know, we're in this weird time because the pandemic hit, you were talking about people uncertain and moving money during 2008. I kind of experienced a little bit of that and the uncertainty for my clients at the beginning of the pandemic. Yeah. And so now we went 2 years of uncertainty and now we're met with, you know, outlandish gas prices and grocery prices and inflation is through the roof. And, you know, and that quote unquote, the rich keep getting richer and the poor just keep getting poorer. We talked about the gap in between there. Can you touch on that a little bit? Because I think a lot of our listeners, they do struggle with that uncertainty of inflation. And so what advice can you give? What can you say about that situation?
Inflation is one of those things where if you have savings and you're invested, you're making money. If you don't and you're living paycheck to paycheck, inflation is going to kick you hard. Remember back when BC wasn't going to let Alberta put a pipeline through, there was some argument around it. And so we started to cut off some supply. You know, that doesn't do anything to people in BC. It's increasing the cost that the single mom in Vancouver has to use to fill her vehicle.
Right.
You know, if you really wanted to hurt the BC economy and tell them, hey, we want, if you're not going to use our products, we're not going to use your products, boycott their wine, boycott their fruit, but people don't want to do that.
Right. But, simple that way.
Exactly. Right? You know, I want my BC cherries, you know, people want their BC wine and this other stuff. But by Alberta, you know, cutting the supply to BC, it just hurts the people there. So that's where we saw like some very isolated inflation. Right now we're seeing inflation across the board, gas prices. This is extraordinarily temporary. What's happening in Ukraine, Russia. It sucks, but, it's when it filters down to us filling our gas tank. It's very temporary. It's a small disruption. Russia doesn't really supply all that much to the global economy. They sell a lot.
Didn't Canada cut out a whole bunch of it in the last 2 years?
I'm not completely certain by that. We honestly don't get the news as to how much is of OPEC or Russian oil is hitting. Right. I do know, and as a City of Medicine Hat produced mm-hmm. oil has made its way to refineries in the United Kingdom.
Okay.
And to do that, it has to go BC down through the Panama Canal and oh back up. Oh my
goodness, man.
So
oil from Medicine Hat and area.
Yeah.
Goes has, all the way south.
Not regularly. It has. Cause yeah. really the producer sells it to yeah. the intermediary yeah. and they put it through the pipelines and they send it. But there are ways that it does get tracked because mm-hmm. they track it for economics. They track it for price controls and totally. Everything else. Producers know what each well is producing and the cost of it and the economics as to where it's going to the market.
Right.
And yeah, Medicine Hat Glock C oil has been in UK refineries.
Yeah.
But that's exactly to show you the need for it in Europe. And Russia had met that need quite a bit. We couldn't get pipeline out east. Won't get too political on it, but mm-hmm. It's temporary what we're mm-hmm. seeing here. Give it 2-3 weeks, it'll filter out. It's mm-hmm. just that there's something called future prices and market prices. And initially they got thrown out of whack, but OPEC's going to pump a bunch more oil here, fill the gap, which is interesting because Russia told them not to, but again, politics that is, well, a year from now, we'll be able to analyze it and see what's happening.
I think it's funny because I don't think it's funny. It's ironic because we're sitting here and, we say you don't want to get too political, but the financial world and the political world, specifically in North America, and I think all over the world, really, the monetary and the fiscal are just so intertwined.
For sure, right? They are,
and so it's hard to, that's why you see online people pointing fingers at one another, saying it's their fault and this fault, and it's just like, well, I think that we need to get down to brass tacks here and be real about what's going on, and that's why I wanted to bring you in is because I want you to explain to our listeners, okay, so if inflation's out of whack and gas prices are the way they are and groceries are the way they are, and maybe people don't have the savings or the investments, what can we start doing today to start looking at our budget, start looking at our personal finance so we can start making our own bed first instead of worrying about if that guy's got a dirty closet, you know what I mean?
Oh, no, so, I absolutely agree. My division. So someone to talk to someone like myself, mm-hmm. you don't need to have money. Mm-hmm. It is in our duty as to what we do to provide advice. Mm-hmm. Everyone is extremely unique. There are taxes are some of the highest. Taxes are the biggest expense we're ever going to have in our life. However, if you're not the medium high and whatnot, upper wealth levels, there are tax breaks and options for things. Mm-hmm. But a good understanding of what your after-tax income is, what benefits you have, and how much of what you should be spending to things mm-hmm. can help. It doesn't always work out that way, and people have to sacrifice some things. Mm-hmm. They sacrifice, the size of home or the as nice of, people. I kind of break it down and let people decide as to what they want to do. I've had 55-year-olds in my office that make $380,000 between both of them, and they can't find a penny to put away to retirement. Mm-hmm.
That was always fascinating to me.
I know. And so I would challenge them. I'd be like, okay, track your spending for the next month. Mm-hmm. These bank apps will show you what you're spending money on.
RBC has Know Me. I also have an account called Mocha.
Yeah, yeah.
Tracks everything for me. It's great.
But I don't want to get onto that side. I want to talk more about, the one that living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
This is where it does become that difficult situation.
Right.
Luckily, I hope not too many people in Canada have to choose between, heating or electricity in their home, but mm-hmm. it does happen. And there are things out there to help with, but, so the average person working, maybe not working as frequently, you don't want to wait. The political system's broken. Sorry, politics and finance, right? okay, you have a bad year. Your taxes show you had a bad year. Now you qualify for things. Mm-hmm. It's so tough to rely on the government to help you. Mm-hmm. So when times are good and things will change, things will get better. We've had it tough in Alberta for the last couple of years. We're seeing a little bit better, even this little bit of a spike in oil prices, you know, trickles down to all of Alberta and, you know, people in the Medicine Hat area too. That's where you plan. That's when you set aside safety nets.
Right.
I always want people to have about a 6-month cushion, mm-hmm. Whether it's cash or debt that they can access at a low interest rate.
Right.
Debt, you have to be careful because, you know, it's one of those things that it can spiral. Mm-hmm. And as soon as things are improving or doing a little bit better, that's when you need to get that back down.
Totally.
So it's there. So two options, you can save initially, or you can use debt and pay the debt down, whereas savings grows though, because mm-hmm. it has a return, whereas debt has a cost against you.
Right.
When times are good, I usually tell people to get debt. Mm-hmm. Don't use it. Have it for when it's there.
Yeah.
Credit cards are absolutely horrible. Don't.
So what, when you say, I know what you mean when you say debt,
yeah.
But for our listeners who are like, oh, I'll just get another credit card. What do you mean by more debt?
Yeah. I mean, like don't let line of credits pile up.
Yeah.
Line of credits are great for emergencies, overdraft and things like that are good for short-term emergencies. Mm-hmm. We need to find some of that savings. Cause as I said, mm-hmm. you don't want to wait for the tax time to come for the government to decide that you need help because mm-hmm. you might have needed help the entire 6 months. Mm-hmm. We can't expense or claim our interest fees
right.
for tax purposes.
Right.
I still think that's wrong, but because if someone really needs it, they need it.
Yeah.
It shows a level of wealth and you know where a poverty line is. I teach high school kids. You know, I do 3 classes a semester for career and life management. I talk about banking and debt mm-hmm. Because. Build that savings, have that 6-month nest egg there from a young age, from an age as to when, hey, mom and dad are still kind of helping me out mm-hmm. a little bit. Or, hey, I got a great job here. What am I planning for? You want to have that safety and security,
right?
It's not a nest egg. It's just safety and security. It's a emergency net. What do they call that? When the trapezes are overhead and they've got the safety net there.
Safety net. Okay. Yeah.
Nest egg you retire with.
Yeah.
Your safety net is when you're living.
When you fall flat on your face during a pandemic.
Yeah. Paycheck to paycheck.
No doubt.
Yeah. It's tough. Put myself through school.
Yeah.
My brother's a doctor, put himself through school. Great. That's the early stages. What if you're now that 35-year-old that's kind of down on their luck? Mm-hmm. It becomes a lot of soul searching. Mm-hmm. We have talents. Mm-hmm. We have abilities.
Yeah.
And we're all worth lots. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's, oh, well, someone got a job because he knows someone. Or yeah, sometimes that's the case, but keep grinding because there are jobs out there. When I travel, I listen to stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, one of the comics that I like to talk about is when we talk about elections and things, they'll talk about unemployment rates mm-hmm. and a big thing with Obama and some of his, competition over the years going back. Cause that's when I really followed politics was that, unemployment's still 8%, 9%. Well, this comedian said, I can't believe that, you know, it's not 10% because 10% of Americans don't deserve to have jobs. So all that means is there's going to be turnover. There's going to be jobs. Sure. Someone might screw up and get fired. Well, that's an opening for you. And maybe that person's not best suited for that job. Mm-hmm. There's a really hard and sometimes humbling rule of being your best self.
Yeah.
And just because you were doing this job, making this money, well, you might not have been all that great at it. You may not mm-hmm. have been all that happy mm-hmm. at it. And so sometimes you get stuck in it because, well, it's safety, even though I'm not happy and I'm not progressing and I'm not excelling. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you get, you know, that let go or the layoff, it now motivates you and pushes you to find something else. You might not find something right away. It may take that 3 months, 6 months, a year. So you want to just, when times are good, create that safety net.
Yeah.
And everyone knows what they spend on a monthly basis. You know, I said the apps are there. Yeah, on the
I was going to say, like, I think that's like one of the things that I saw the most as an advisor was like, I would sit down with people and they had no idea where their money was going.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, okay, well, let's take 20, 30 minutes and look at what you're spending in a month.
Absolutely.
And most of the time people were embarrassed. They're like, oh my goodness, skip the dishes and takeout and booze and cigarettes. And all of a sudden you're like, yeah, there's $1,200. There's $1,500 right there.
Yeah. Well, you know? that one couple I mentioned, both of them making $380,000. They tracked a volleyball trip to Brandon, Manitoba. Mm-hmm. Brandon, Manitoba is not a vacation.
Yes.
Yeah. They spent as much money as they were going on a vacation.
Right. Right.
Right.
Like, so it's little things like that where you're like, wow, there's $3,000. Like, yeah, exactly.
Or, right. Or seven. Cause yeah. The entire family went and the friends had to come and there were four hotel rooms and six tanks of gas in the Suburban because they had to move everybody.
Oh,
and
goodness,
then
right.
they had to stop in Regina because Regina has a Lululemon. You're paying PSTs.
Yeah.
Go shop online. Go to the store, try it on, find your size and buy it online right. In Alberta when you don't have to pay PST on it. But you know, just these things that people and some people are out of touch. Like they're like, well, doesn't everyone make $380,000? I'm like, no,
no, no, you're absolutely no, not at all. Yeah. That's one thing that I realized is like, I always say this thing is like a lot of the most unhappy people I met were people that had six and seven figures in their bank.
Yeah.
And some of the happiest had not a penny, two pennies to rub together.
Yeah.
But it was also one of those things too, is like, When I was, you know, in my early 20s, I made some horrendous mistakes with money that I didn't think were, I was like skipping out on credit card payments and like, I wasn't educated on it. And then you're like, oh yeah, a lot of us weren't educated on it. And then as an advisor, you're like, almost no one's educated on it until you find somebody.
Yeah.
And then you notice that the people around them are educated on the subject. And, you know, and now what I try to do is like, we were able to put my wife through school and putting myself through school right now.
Perfect.
We went through a struggle, but that struggle involved, you know, putting a budget on what we can spend a month on clothes, putting a budget a month on what we can spend on food, making sure that only once a month we had takeout. And you know, when you start looking at your bank accounts every single day and your investing accounts every single day, you're like, oh, this is where I want my money going. I don't want my money going to Skip.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, you know, a lot of people will make fun of, we were just talking about Dave Ramsey out there.
Sure.
A lot of people make fun of Dave and say, well, you know, you can't get rich saving $5 on Starbucks. I'm like, yeah, well, when you're doing it 250 times a year,
absolutely.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. You know? I remember this article on Bloomberg. So I don't follow a lot of news like CBC Global, things like that. I follow the financials like Thomson Reuters, Bloomberg's like.
Yeah. Forbes. Yeah. Forbes even a little.
Yeah. Yeah, that gets a little
off the rails.
Yeah, a little more entertainment. Yeah. You know, these are the things that like money matters to politics, to businesses. And so when they're reporting not fluff. And it tends to be a little bit more like quite often I'll send out to clients articles and things because I'll weed through, I'll drudge through the weeds and find what's useful. Or what's beneficial. Mm-hmm. You can go down a rabbit hole so many times.
News and stuff that's out there. Especially in the financial world, like we said, it's so intertwined that, you know, when I always did the same thing. It was like, oh, I need to keep my clients updated on this. And then you go down these rabbit holes of like, oh, this is super geopolitical.
Yeah.
Why is this? Oh, you have to know this as an advisor because this is important. When you're starting to talk about $1 million, $2 million decisions of people's money, you need to know exactly what the fine details are. That's your job.
Absolutely. Right? And you know, when we have expenses and things, and I love my older clients because they're like, oh, I just bought a new washer and dryer, some Samsung, like a Samsung. I've broken 2 years, you know, I had my old Whirlpool for 20 years before we moved to the,
Hey grandpa.
fair enough.
Right.
I remember when I first graduated, my wife and I bought this like 850 square foot bungalow in Regina. Mm-hmm. You know, we were graduates. We had good jobs off the get-go and we probably could have bought something for $350. Instead, we bought this $180,000 because I looked at my budget and I looked at, hey, just because the bank is going to approve me to this amount doesn't mean I should.
Can you speak like into the mic a little bit more a little bit louder for everyone that makes those mistakes?
Yeah, just because the bank says you can be approved for a mortgage or a debt at a certain amount doesn't mean you should do it.
Right.
And we did. We took this 180,000 square foot bungalow was original owner. We ripped it down to the studs. Mm-hmm. It got so like funny story. We were, I volunteered with a scout group and a church group, and I had just ripped out our only bathroom and I went paintballing with them and ended up breaking my ankle.
Oh, no.
I drywalled that bathroom with a broken ankle. Oh, my goodness, man. Oh. It's not the days of like the lightweight drywall.
Yeah.
But you know, all challenges, you look back at them in a time I was, but not
those,
happy
those challenges and those decisions were worth it because it advanced you financially.
Yeah. Right? For 3 weeks, I couldn't shower at our own house. I was going to the Gold's Gym in the morning. Yeah. Was that gym? I was showering at Gold's Gym and Regina, going off to work. And I didn't even have a workout that day.
But I got a shower.
I still had a shower, but you know, we look back at them. They're funny stories. Uh-huh. By the time I was depressed. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this sucks. But, you know, finding that drive and finding that, this home was mine. It didn't have to be a palace. It didn't have to have the best finishings. I didn't grow up really knowing a whole lot of things. I always say, if you can find construction advice on YouTube, if you can find three people doing something construction the exact same way, it's probably all right.
Pretty similar.
For me, my little 850 square foot bungalow.
Right.
But it was very much in our means. My wife and I had one vehicle until we had a daughter. Mm-hmm. I had a child.
What you're saying here, I want to slow down because you're saying makes sense for guys who see mistakes being made by people. And we try and educate people and we help people, you know, rectify those mistakes.
Yeah.
One of the things we talked about already was budgeting and making those sacrifices, like you said, with your house. But we're starting to discuss, you know, the banking thing where if the bank will give you $500,000, don't take $500,000. I say this all the time. One of the biggest mistakes I made financially was buying a vehicle and financing it.
Sure.
And it's just like, you know, and there's a friend of mine, he's on Facebook. He always makes fun of me because he's got a Porsche, but, and I'm like, yeah, it's a $300,000 car. That's a different story. But one of the things that I noticed, especially in small town Medicine Hat, is you have a lot of people who see, you know, that $700 a month, truck payment as like, that's a necessity for me because I need it for work. It's like, well, you don't need that humongous unit.
Yeah.
You're right. But at the same time, I think it's also, in our town, in our small town, and I would say Alberta in general, that there's this idea that you have to have a brand new vehicle. There's this idea that you have to have the next big jacked up truck instead of buying 4 or 5 years older. And some of these vehicles, I mean, they're basically mortgages, right? So when you got a mortgage, that's maybe $2,000 a month. And then on top of it, you got two vehicles that you're paying $2,000 a month for, you know, things get haywire really quick. And I think a lot of men specifically, because this is a men's show, put a lot of emphasis on the way things look or the way they feel when they drive it or what their buddies and neighbors are going to say. And it's just like, how do we get those guys out of the weeds and bring them back on a straight path? What would you say?
Well, we grew up around, you know, music and stuff, talking about big trucks, big luxury things. Don't quote me on this. I think it was Pitbull that said the new million is a billion. Mm-hmm. That's a big gap.
Yeah.
But we grew up with these things and a lot of us in Alberta, we grew up with parents that were in the glory of Alberta. It was a wealthy, wealthy time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we think that's normal or we think that's what we should be as well too, or if it's a sense of entitlement or what it may be. Mm-hmm. It's a gut check. Yeah. That we're not in the same Alberta of Ralph Bucks.
Yeah.
right? Like,
I tried to explain this to my dad recently.
Okay.
Like, I bought my house for 30 grand. I'm like, you also were still making $25 an hour. Mm-hmm. Like that's a huge gap. Well, you know, people are still making $25 an hour, but houses are $400,000 now, you know. Well,
let's look at the house. Yeah. Okay. So the $40,000 house back then had an interest rate of like 18%.
Yeah.
And as the interest rate comes down, the house prices go up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, eventually interest rates have to go up. Mm-hmm. And now you have this house. Like I always say, a house in a mortgage is actually a high risk investment because, okay, the bank,
oh, really?
Yeah, because okay. The bank, not very high or extremely right. high, but like it's not a low risk investment or a medium risk. It's actually a little bit higher because, okay, the bank approves you for a 5-year term. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Life is good. What if 5 years later, interest rates are high and you can't afford that anymore? Well, chances are you're not the only one. Mm-hmm. There's probably a lot of other people. So you're forced to sell or the bank will sell it for you. We have certain safe measures in place to avoid that, but it can still happen. Now, if there's a lot of houses on the market, house prices come down. Mm-hmm. And so you may break even, but you've been making 5 years of payments on it.
Right.
So, you know, it is still a high risk investment. And I see my clients that are like the 60, 55 age where they're just about ready for retirement. And yeah, they're mortgage free because they grew up knowing that interest rates for their places used to be 12, 14, 18%.
Wild, man.
Just absolutely crazy. Like, and depending on some things, you can get ahead on some areas. Initially, my mortgages were half fixed and half variable closed. So the fixed portion, I knew what I had to pay that every single month. The variable closed usually beat the fixed option. But I wouldn't want to have all of my eggs in that basket.
Right.
But that's where it is. So to get good financial advice, you don't have to have a lot of money.
Right.
Like for someone in my industry to take on someone as a client, they have to be willing to put money away.
That's it.
10%, 15%. It's like having a personal trainer. I tell my clients that everyone needs a doctor. Everyone needs a dentist, an optometrist. Everyone needs a financial planner.
Yeah.
We become their personal CFO of their division of their, you know, financial unit or finances. Mm-hmm. And so they don't have to have a lot. They just have to be willing to listen to the advice, listen to the guidance. Mm-hmm. And that's all you need to really have it. There's a lot of free advice out there. Mm-hmm. There is, but if you want someone to, you know, hold your hand and walk you just like having a personal trainer, you know, you're not going to injure yourself as much. If you do, there's going to be alternative exercises. So you're not sidelined for weeks until it heals. And then you go back to the gym to help yourself. And, mm-hmm. and I kid you not, physical fitness is one of the best wealths you can have.
Right.
Like our bodies allow us to make money.
Yeah.
Our brains help us think, our bodies allow us to do things. And that helps us with our wealth.
Right.
It's one of those things where we live in a world where we can, it sucks. We can physically see that the poverty line and the health of people at mm-hmm. that poverty line, because they just can't do as much.
Right.
You know, if I'm working at something, well, I can probably do it faster than someone that's 300 pounds.
Yeah.
Like our bodies are our first and foremost best tool.
Yeah.
Minds, physical bodies. So take care of this. This is your temple.
Yeah.
This is your,
I agree your with resource. That so much. You know, yeah. I was chat. We did an episode talking about fat phobia in the fitness industry and for okay. people who are getting into shape. And after the podcast, we were discussing one of the wilder things about living in 2022 is for the first time ever, people in poverty are severely obese.
Yeah.
And then when you start thinking about that, well, like, what does that mean? And the physical attributes of somebody, that's a really good point, because I don't think many people look at people who misuse substances, for an example, people who are addicts, mm-hmm. You know, people. And when I say that, a lot of them are homeless.
Yeah.
So you go look at someone who's homeless and tell me that they aren't in the best of shape, right?
Yeah.
They're struggling.
They're struggling.
And then the opposite can be said for people who are, you know,
you know, specifically in the United States, you don't see it so much here in Canada, although you do see it, is people who are living off of government assistance and rations and that sort of thing, who are severely obese because they're just buying the cheapest food, which is always junk food. So we touched on a few things. Let's back it up here. We touched on a few things. We touched on personal finance. We touched on budgeting. Sure. We touched on, you know, what is good debt? What's bad debt? You know, the risk and the benefit of buying a house. Before we end the conversation, there is a stigma with financial planners.
Yes.
But the stigma, from my opinion and my experience, and you're going to say the exact same thing, doesn't necessarily come from financial advisors. It comes from people thinking that they know more than a professional. And I've never understood that. And I want you to explain the benefits of really sitting down and the process, let's actually do that. What process you would take a client through, because I mean, I know how to pour concrete. And I've done drywall before, but I ain't doing my roof, man. Like I'm not, there's some things you need a professional for. And so walk us through what your process looks like, just to give our listeners an idea of what it's like working with a financial planner.
Yeah. So first and foremost, when I sit down with someone, I don't care about money or anything like that. I want to know what's important to them. I ask them questions.
Their values, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and even too, I've find out their personal desires and goals and objectives. And then I talk about the financial ones of how involved do you want to be with investment decisions? How involved do you want to be with do you consider yourself in trouble for debt? And I've met with people that are like, oh yeah, I know I'm in way too much debt, and they're not.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, compared to the average person, you're...
That's how I feel right now. I just got a little bit for student loans, so I guess exactly how I feel.
Well, yeah. You know, and even too, a good advice. Like, oh, my bank said they'll give me a student loan. Well, why do a bank student loan? We can do a government student loan and the interest is tax deductible. You know, just the good advice of where to get things. Be weary of retail advice. Retail advice and
explain
retail
that product, for the listeners.
Something that's selling you something.
Right.
So when a good financial plan is built, and a financial plan is where you are right now, what are your desires? What do you want with your money and things? I apologize.
No worries.
Sorry. Every client of mine has my cell phone.
Oh,
I purposely do not manage a whole lot of households because you can't take care of more than 300 households.
Totally. Totally agree with that.
And the banking world will push you to 1,000.
Yeah. Listen to that, guys. I think that's a really important point, because when you're talking about somebody who's an individual, we joked around about the word private, but a private wealth specialist and a financial planner is a lot different service than someone at a bank.
Yep.
No offense to banks or anything, but let's be real. When I was dealing with 150 clients and dealing just with them, it was a lot easier and they were a lot happier.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. I like answering my phone because it's a happy client, not someone complaining about something. Because I've got 500 clients that I manage. You know, those types of things. So be careful of retail. Retail advice, and if there's a sale to it, a good financial plan will determine your objectives and goals, and there will be a solution added to it. When it comes to investing, you may not need to get that 15% rate of return. If your financial plan says you only need an 8% rate of return to do what you're doing and you're comfortable with your lifestyle, how things are and all this other stuff, why take the extra risk if you don't have to? Some will say, well, it's there. I should get that. I want a piece of that. Like, well, there's downside to it as well.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
You could be down for, like, if you lose 50%, you have to make 100% just to get back to zero. Holy crap. Like I tell people that my mentality is as positive of a return as possible. And that doesn't mean we're going to be positive every year. A dollar invested never goes in the shredder. It's somewhere. It's in Canada. It's in the US. It's in Europe. It's in bonds. No institution is the best at doing all of that. So you want to avoid the retail that says they can.
Right.
You know, you want to see, oh, he's using Fidelity for Canadian. He's using JP Morgan for international, you know, BlackRock for US. These different companies that specialize in those areas.
Right.
Even doctors. One doctor is not a doctor of everything. One lawyer is not a lawyer of everything. So you want to see specialized areas because you're going to get the best benefit from it. Mm-hmm. So you want the specialist investment in the US, the special investment in Canada, but finding out where your goals and having a good understanding as to where you are. If you're in trouble, mm-hmm. a good financial planner will be able to show you what you need to do.
Right.
Like I've had some clients that have sat down with me and they've got a consolidation loan at like 8.5%. Yeah. It's not 21% from your credit cards, mm-hmm. but they're saying, well, I should be putting money away for RSPs. I'm like, you're paying 8.5%. Pay that off first.
You're saying consolidation is a good move.
It can be. Yeah. If you qualify for consolidation, it means you're not too far off.
Right.
But it's usually like a 5-year payment to it and it's high interest. Mm-hmm. But I'll get people to be like, oh, I should be putting towards RSPs, tax-free savings accounts. I'm like, no. I've even had some people empty their tax-free savings accounts because their risk comforts aren't around making a 10% return.
Right.
Your risk comforts aren't around there, yet you're paying 8.5% interest out. I'm sorry, take from your TFSA and pay that off.
Right.
If you have one from work and old, you know, something from here and there or whatever it may be, that's the balance of wealth.
Right.
Where should it be? Oh, I've got this here and I've got this there, but how should these be aligned?
Right.
Make this puzzle whole, not missing gaps. I still give
that advice to my friends. I've actually given that advice where it's just like, well, why are you have this money in your TFSA? Let's get rid of this.
Yeah.
Cause this is eating at you every month. What are we doing? Right. Right. And unless it's just like if you're a student having student loans, you're going to have student loans.
You're going to have student loans.
You know, and it's just like, but there's no need to have outlandish credit card debt and there's no need to have vehicles. Again, we go back to the vehicle thing, but it's just like you want to try and pay that down as quickly as possible. You don't want to just sit on it.
Yeah. Right? And like there are reasonable debts. Mm-hmm. Student loans. Mm-hmm. You're expanding yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, as long as you're not taking basket weaving for a 401, the fourth year of basket weaving. Okay, student loans. One vehicle payment at a time. Mm-hmm. That means vehicle, ATV, motorbike, motorhome, one of them at a time, and a mortgage.
Yeah.
A house is shelter. It's a basic need.
Totally.
You need these things. Basic needs, transportation, shelter, and you know, something that is helping you earn more in the future.
Totally.
And education and learned trades or learned skills. Super, super beneficial. You're never wasting your money doing that.
Right.
Well, you are if you're doing it, but you're not. If you're half-assing it,
right.
Was it? Don't half-ass one thing, whole-ass two things.
Yeah, something like that.
Parks and Recreation.
Which is funny because I made that exact mistake. I took out 40 grand of student loans from the bank.
Yeah.
The bank. And I went to school for 2 years and then I dropped out. Oh, and it's like, oh, like, what are we doing? But again, it's when you guys are listening to the show here and you're listening to Nathan and I talk, these are advices that we would give ourselves.
Absolutely.
You know, these aren't just what we want people to hear. It's just like, you know, somebody told me, if you told me at 20, Dylan, don't do that. Don't just smile. No, buddy, just keep going.
Yeah.
Next. Do you want to go to school that bad? If you do, go to the government website. Here's the website. Walk you through it. And that is a lot different than what you said about retail. You see that a lot from advisors, but you also, as someone who's been in a financial advisor, you also see that from people too. They want that quick fix, and financial planning is not a quick fix.
Yeah.
Like it's something you have to sit and you got to go through the game plan. You got to go through the actual motions of doing it.
Yeah.
It's hard work.
And it's not built in a day.
Yeah.
Like Rome wasn't built in a day, and financial plans and financial strategies and structures are not.
Right.
And they're never fixed. It's never set it and forget it. They're always changing. We're going to have kids. We're going to have illnesses. There's going to be things that are going to come up.
Right.
Life is full of challenges. Oh my goodness. And finances, like even too, I heard a stat that talked about divorce and house prices. Mm-hmm. If divorce dropped by 25%, they said you see a decline in housing of 15%. Because think about it. You've got this one family unit, and now they separate. Well, they both need a place to live. Mm-hmm. Chances are one of them probably can't afford the place they had before if both are working. Yeah. Now it's just the one. So now you're off to two different places, smaller places, and there's this one for sale. Mm-hmm. You know, it's supply and demand.
Yeah.
If we're constantly, constantly splitting and splitting and dividing, it's like chopping the head off the snake grows two more heads.
Right.
Right. Like it's these things. And so we've heard time and time again, how, like, we're human. We need relationships.
Yeah.
male, like bros need bros, bros need gals. My wife's going to laugh at me for saying that. Like Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, like, is it good that man's alone? No, we need our spouses. We need our
people.
We need our people.
Yeah.
We are social beings. And that's another thing too. Be social about finances. Talk to people, talk one another.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Mike, I'm thinking of buying this truck. And Mike says, oh, did you know that, you know, you're a small business owner. You should be leasing instead of financing it. Yeah. Oh, but the interest rate is 0%. Oh, heck yeah. Go do that. That's borrowed money.
Yeah.
If Ford wants to give you a vehicle at 0% interest, do it. Don't go to the bank for that loan. Don't do it. But you know, things change. We've had 0% interest. We've had 3.5% interest. Mm-hmm. There is no one set structure. Talk about it, because chances are a friend or someone else has maybe gone through something like that and you can learn from them.
I just got a phone call from Shane, our co-host, that's supposed to be here tonight, Shane.
Oh, Shane.
we were just talking. We always talk about our money.
Good.
And that is, he said beforehand, like, he's never talked to anybody about it. And I was just like, man, just make it healthy. Make it. There's no bad thing about it. Money is a tool. Money is a resource. And if you take a hammer to hit somebody over the head with it, then it's dangerous.
Yeah.
Right. But if you use that tool to build a house, that hammer to build a house, then all of a sudden you have this, not only a beautiful house, but a story behind it. You know how to use the tool, you know how to use this resource, and you can help other people. Right. And so when, you know, I want to wrap this up because I know we got to get going here, but I just want to say,
I can talk all day long.
I know it's just crazy. Gets me going, man. It's but the reason it gets me going is because I walked into the financial industry with just a passion for like day trading and investing on my phone.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
I got into finance because I really enjoyed the conversation and I was tired of being broke, be quite frankly. Yeah, right. Absolutely. And I was just like, what industry can I get in that's going to make me wealthy and me help people? Mm-hmm. Well, that's a no brainer.
Yep.
Right. So that's a no brainer. So when I talk to people about finance, like, this conversation is great because we're two industry guys, you know, shooting the shit about it. Mm-hmm. But when you have conversations like I had with Shane, when you've been for the last year and a half jamming down his throat how healthy it is to talk about your money and giving him advice, and then finally he's at a point where he's taken that advice and he's made the better decisions, and I am writing off my vehicle now and I'm doing this and I'm doing that, you smile because you realize that you could do that with anybody in your life, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, accountants are great, but again, Medicine Hat's unique. We do not have enough financial advisors. Mm-hmm. Medicine Hat is not this hub of educated, experienced people to come to. Not to say that I am, but like, I've had the chance to live all around the world. San Diego, Chicago, New York, Qatar. Medicine Hat's my home. Mm-hmm. My wife and I have been together since high school. Yeah. So that's what draws me here.
Right.
I've got responsibility and power of attorney, executive for my grandparents, right? I was that money kid in the family, where when it became like, okay, grandma and grandpa are going into the home, who's going to manage the finance? Nathan is. That's like, okay, thanks. I guess I'm doing that.
Yeah.
But you know, we all have our different skills. Like if I'm worried about skin cancer, I'm saying, Dr. Nunweiler, does this look all right?
Right.
My brother, right? And sure, like, I'm not too worried about it.
But
you know, we have like family and friends are so key. Mm-hmm. And we've all had different experiences in sharing those.
Yeah.
But there's always a stigma around money, mm-hmm, and wealth.
Yeah.
How much do I owe? How much? I had a friend of mine, this is before I was even in the advising side. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, I think I have to declare bankruptcy. And I'm like, hold on. Mm-hmm. Let's look at this. Do you trust me? Oh yeah. No, I trust you full on. I'm like, does your wife trust me? I can talk to her. And you know, it wasn't necessary. Mm-hmm. There is good advice out there, and a lot of it's going to come from friends.
Right.
Or it's a friend that said, if a friend says, oh, go buy crypto, I've made so much money. Not great advice.
Not a great advice. Not,
And I have fired clients before because they won't take my advice.
Right.
They're chasing the marijuana stock and, oh, Nathan's making money over here. Let's take some of those gains because I can buy marijuana cheap over here.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. If you want to do that, find someone else. Mm-hmm. But like in all professions, you know, people aren't going to follow and they're using your time where I could help three other people that are willing to listen.
Totally.
And be willing to listen. I've told millionaires some very tough things. Mm-hmm. You know,
those are the most difficult conversations.
Those are like, and yeah, here I'm a 38-year-old, you know, I'm not a millionaire, mm-hmm. yeah. but yet here I've got like a 65 or 70-year-old that, oh, I want to go give all my money away to, and sure. Okay. This is how much you can and still remain on track.
Totally.
Or if you want to give a larger lump sum at a certain point in time, mm-hmm. Sure. Like, oh, so-and-so got an accident. They need some help. Yes. Let's help.
Right.
But bring them to me and let's talk about it too. Because yes, they're in trouble and you just band-aiding money on it isn't going to do it.
Yeah.
A loan, borrowed money, a gift is not a band-aid. We need to use that properly. You know, just, it can happen. I see it with insurance payouts, death benefits, this and that, where, oh, where'd the money go? Mm-hmm. Oh, I paid off my mortgage. I did this and this. And like, that was supposed to be cash flow for you. Mm-hmm. So great. You don't have debt, but how are you going to pay your property taxes, heat your house, you know,
yeah.
maintenance and upkeep. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite is when people are wanting to retire and they're like, oh, we're going to go buy a bunch of rental properties. I'm like, do you know how to swing a hammer?
Yeah. Yeah. For real.
Yeah. Because you know, you've built this nest egg and yes, you need income. Let me show you options for mm-hmm. income.
Yeah.
Yeah. And investing is what I love. I love the portfolio side mm-hmm. of things. Mm-hmm. I love the financial planning. Like I tell people markets can do what markets can do, but if I can save someone a couple $100,000 in taxes in a lifetime.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
That just makes me be unhappy.
I love it too, because what you're saying is it's like, I don't, a lot of people's stress yeah. and depression and burden comes from financial issues.
Yeah.
And if we can mitigate those or eliminate them completely and let them just deal with the stresses of normal life,
yeah.
you know, it makes our life a lot easier and we feel like we've won. Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely, man.
But you know, don't be intimidated by finance.
Yeah.
Don't be intimidated by people that work in the financial industry. Mm-hmm. Ask them questions, approach them.
Yeah.
Even if this person doesn't give you the time of day, mm-hmm. well, you're worth it.
Yeah.
You deserve to have the advice. Find another one, mm-hmm. find another one, find another one.
Mm-hmm. Which segues into this, where can people find you, man?
IG Wealth Management, 1324 mm-hmm. Southview Drive.
Okay.
You know, we've got specialties in that office for all areas.
Awesome.
You know, I'm not a super experienced insurance guy. Mm-hmm. So I need help. I go down to Craig McIver,
right.
who's, you know, he grew up a rig guy.
Yeah.
And he made a career change 8-9 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he took the insurance knowledge side of things and just ran with it because he saw how many of his fellow friends and coworkers and stuff yeah. had trouble with mm-hmm. that. And believe it or not, the banking world, the financial world, we are there to serve. You are our customers, but also our clients. Mm-hmm. You benefit, you prosper, we benefit, we prosper. It's such a beneficial symbiotic relationship. Mm-hmm. But find and ask friends. Be like, hey, who do you deal with for financial advice?
Right.
And Wealthsimple or something online may mm-hmm. be the option.
Right.
Or sometimes too, I'll sit down with people and be like, you're so close. Mm-hmm. This is all you need. And, you know, go make your $1 million. And then when you're scared of losing it, then bring it to me. Cause right. I'll make sure you don't lose it.
Right. Exactly. Well, and that's the benefit of working with a private financial planner like yourself and a guy that'll sit down with people regardless of how much money they have.
Yeah.
Nathan, this has been awesome, man. Yeah, I appreciate this conversation and I'm sure our listeners will as well. This is our first financial talk, but like I said at the beginning, I think with the turmoil of the times, I think that this is a opportunity for guys to understand and learn new things about finance and how they can benefit their lives. So,
yeah. And you know, so I said, finances are always changing. So yeah, let's talk regularly and it should be candid.
Yeah.
It should be very real. And sometimes when there's a wound, you gotta, you know, clean that wound and it hurts before it can heal properly. So
that's true.
You know, if you ever get questions and stuff from listeners, so anyone out there, if you write in on the social medias and whatnot and have questions on things, let's make a time to chat about it. Cause you know, I can sit down and tell one person something in an hour, but if I can tell 100 people the same thing in an hour, great.
Yeah. And for your sake, you know, we do have, you know, anywhere from 500 to 1,000 listeners an episode. So this has been a fantastic conversation, and I appreciate you doing this, man.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Alrighty.